Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Staveley of Phenomenal Training.
Debs.
Hello.
Here we are.
We're in the flesh.
Physically, side by side.
I know.
We've stolen a moment in the room that we've been running a leadership workshop in today.
Yeah.
And we thought, actually, what a great opportunity to take some of the real life insights and ideas from all the leaders that we've been with today.
Yep.
And bring it live into this episode.
Yeah.
So how's things going for you, Debs?
They're all right, actually, Laura. They're not going too bad.
How's your day at work been? Bearing in mind that I've been the... the key theme. Hope it's been okay.
It's been amazing, actually. And it's really cool to be back in the room, right? Just to be able to sit and explore with people about what's going on for them, what some of their challenges, what are they thinking about, what's getting in the way. So it's been really valuable time. And we've got tomorrow as well.
We've got tomorrow.
2 days.
And there is a lot of discussion around the role that confidence, self-belief, self-doubt has. So although mindset and the role that mindset has in performance has always been a topic, it's a burning topic at the moment. And especially when people then arrive in a leadership workshop or at a coaching conversation with you, is often some of the stuff that they bring with them. So this mini-series has been all about you and your mind, so confidence and self-belief. So previous episode, we were looking at refocusing on an optimistic mindset.
Yeah.
Really tricky if you're surrounded by a bunch of eels who are constantly trying to drag things down because, you know, there might be a lot of heavy lifting and difficult things, but feeling like, you know, you're surrounded by people who are going to focus on the can-do, I guess is kind of one of the takeouts we had from that. And linking as well with that, the focus we're going to talk about on this episode is just looking at handling self-doubt.
Yeah.
So Debs,
big topic.
From a coach perspective, how many of your people who you know, who knock on your door to say, I'd like some coaching, how much of a common theme is self-doubt?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing, actually, Law. So even though people are coming with maybe a topic in mind that they want to focus on, when you start digging underneath the surface, you find that there is an element of self-doubt that creeps into their conversations. And therefore, what we have to do, as you are aware, we have to sort of go a little bit deeper. So we have to go under the surface with people because it comes from a variety of sources and factors that contribute to self-doubt. And a lot of them, or the main one, is their past experiences of something. So what's happened in the past that either gives them lack of confidence, they have low, you know, self-esteem, they have lack of self-belief. There's a number of things because of an experience that happened in their past that's driving their behavior today. So we have to, I suppose, unpick some of that stuff so that we can get under the surface of what is that? Where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we, as coaches, as facilitators as well in the room, is to just be gentle to explore with them what is that about, because that then impacts on the way they talk to people. Their own self-talk as well has a massive part to play in what they do. So it's huge, and it's normally always under that surface. So we have to unpick some of that stuff as well.
And Debs, I think the commercial impact that self-doubt can have is not only on someone's performance or stepping out and doing a little bit more proactive out there stuff in their current role, but we know that our clients over here in the UK are really challenged with recruitment stresses at the moment.
Yeah.
So teams that aren't fully stocked, there's vacancies, trying to recruit good candidates. So there's a real emphasis on happy teams, you retain your team, staff retention is really key. And of course, if everyone is there laden with self-doubt, they're not going to put their hand up for internal promotion.
No.
So if everyone is secretly going, oh, I don't think I can be this role, I don't think I can do that, then you're going to have less people from an internal recruitment point of view.
Yeah.
So if no one inside an organisation is saying, yeah, go on then, I'll give it a go, because they're kind of battling through a load of self-doubt, then you know, you are then stuck with having to recruit externally.
Yep.
And things coming to a bit of a backlog. So I can see there's a real impact of individual self-doubt and actually the impact that can have even just on sort of those corporate comings and goings. If people are a bit worried about, oh, I can't be a manager or I can't be a leader. And we have loads of that comes into the room of people saying, well, I'm on this leadership workshop, but I don't feel like a leader.
Yeah, why am I here?
Isn't you go, it? Well, define it. What does that mean? The definition of a leader is you've got a follower. Does someone ask you for their advice? Right, great, you're a leader.
Yeah, and I think that's what people forget is knowing what people come to them for. And as you said, you know, we had somebody today, right, that went, oh, I'm not, I don't think I'm a leader, but actually I've been, someone has spotted my talent and think I'm worth investing in. And it's that bit that says, well, what does that say about you? What are they noticing? But you can still hear them, their little fears, their criticism of self coming in, maybe a level of imposter syndrome is coming into the play as well. So it's adding to their levels of self-doubt, really, which we need to unpick and unpack so that we get under the surface of it. And as we always say, right, Law, that, you know, people have this imposter syndrome going around them, but evidence says they've got the job. So there must be something that says, well, are you? You're not really an imposter. You definitely haven't got a syndrome, but I believe in you. And therefore, why would you not be a leader? So it's challenging our beliefs, I suppose, and our ways of thinking, because maybe we've always heard that. So therefore, we hang on to that as our truth. But is it? So we can challenge that thinking. Because it may not never have been challenged in the past, or somebody might have gone, oh, well, that's nice. But actually, it's about somebody like us will go, well, what does that mean for you? How does that impact on you? How do you want to show up? Let's look at your skills. Let's look at what you do bring, not what you don't bring. So we help, I suppose, support people to overcome that lack of confidence, that lack of self-belief, all of that stuff that stops us from being our best self.
And I know we're going to look at a couple of practical tools that can then sort of help handle that sort of self-doubt and kind of rise above it a little bit. But I do think that one of the reasons why this is such a hot topic, Debs, is not only we've been through huge amounts of change. So there's a lot of people who are potentially in roles now feeling like they didn't get the certificate from school that has set them up for this particular role.
Yeah.
No one has, just as an FYI. But also, if you're working hybrid, we are a lot less watched than we used to be before.
Yeah, true.
So you might have someone getting to the end of the working day going, well, I think I've handled it all right, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, no one's telling me. Yeah.
You know, I can't compare myself to how my colleague has dealt with that conversation because we don't sit by each other anymore. So you're there after work going, did I handle it all right? Could I have done it differently? And if you're an overthinker, then potentially that can is where it kind of grows and it can sort of spiral a little bit. So I know there are three questions that you always recommend, Deb. So let's say someone has had a challenging day at work.
Yeah.
They get to the end, they breathe, and then the self-doubt kicks in.
Yeah.
So what would be three questions that would help someone if they're thinking, did I handle that all right?
Yeah.
Should I have done it differently? Am I cut out for this?
Yeah.
What would be three questions?
So one of them, which is a big one. So what was the output of what I did? So as a result of my investment or my time with that individual, what was the output? So was this a success? Yeah, it was. So being able to acknowledge that what you've done and how you've impacted on somebody was successful. So it's what you did do rather than what you didn't do. So stopping and thinking around that. So what have I done that's made that better than it was a moment ago? So that's a really good one to think about. Then going into that bit around, you know, I can do that. Of course you can do that. It's when we have that self-doubt creeping, goes, oh, I'm not sure if I did it well. Who said you didn't? So therefore, questioning what you think has happened as opposed to what has actually happened. So bringing it into the now. And it's just that acknowledgement of self that says, yeah, I made that happen. Yeah, I did, because there's an output as a result of my input. So what have I done that's made that difference today? So there's different variations of a question that you can just check in with yourself to go, yeah, actually, I did do that. And the output was this. So therefore, who am I not to do that?
And I think as well as challenging those limiting beliefs that can start to grow seaweed around our legs and drag us down is also the logical, helpful, true challenge.
Yes.
So, you know, if we were sitting next to each other all the time and I might say to you, oh, Dev, I don't think I did a very good job on that. And you'd go, right, Law. Is what you're thinking logical? Is it helpful? Is it true? And we know that if you can answer no to one of those, then you know that you can just abandon that thought.
Yeah.
You don't need to carry it around with you for the rest of the evening or the rest of the working day. So I love it when you think about the, is it logical, helpful, true?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have stuck that as a post-it note on their screen, if they find themselves a little bit plagued by self-doubt at the moment, and you're sort of worrying about what you said in a meeting or what you should have said, if you're starting to kind of berate yourself a little bit and drag yourself down, those three questions can just help get over yourself and into focusing on what you want to do next.
And that's one of the first things, is recognizing that you are talking to yourself in a negative way. And that's one of the things, you know, it can be quite hard sometimes to notice, and maybe somebody else might point it out to you and says, oh, do you realize you're always putting yourself down, or, you know, something like that. So I think, you know, paying attention to those negative thoughts. So taking away the judgment, because what you bring is incredible. So just reminding yourself of whether you consider yourself to be of high value, which is an interesting question. I know we asked a couple of the people in the room today, you know, if you were to consider yourself to be of high value, can you see that? Can you picture what that might look like for you? And if you, how close or how far away is that high value person? And they really struggle to see that. And that's because all of the noise that's going around with this criticism, comparison, I'm not good enough, all of those things that we hear, it just made them stop and think. And part of our job is to enable people to just pause for a moment, breathe, and, as you say, look at, what am I actually saying to myself? You always talk about language being really important. So how do we challenge those self-doubts in a way? And through the logical, true and helpful, it's being able to validate it or not. And 9 times out of 10, it is just an invalid thought that I've had. So therefore, knowing that what you can do is then practice self-compassion and be kind to yourself and go, like we said earlier, no, I did do that. I made a change for that person in that moment based on what I know and what I have as my gift at that moment to give them. So that's the difference, is to practice that self-compassion, that awareness of self that says, I made a difference there. But we don't often do it because we're full of stuff. So we don't celebrate, I suppose, those small achievements, those micro moments that have just had an impact on somebody else, even though you haven't realized it, it has in some form. And we saw that play out in the room today, right?
And we've mentioned it a couple of times, but the Wins, Walls, Wisdoms tool, just to process your past and all the things you have been up to. So if you're kind of listening to this and you are, you know, there's an opportunity for you to just stretch up and stretch that comfort zone, but you're a little bit, oh no, full of self-doubt, then to just do a Wins, Walls, Wisdoms reflection. So it'll be my highs and my lows and what have been my learns. And it can be quite invigorating, actually, when people think, God, actually, I've done a lot. I've had to be really adaptable. I've had to be really resilient. That was a nightmare a couple of years ago. And wow, look at what we've then done. But if you've never had that processing time, then your brain potentially can get into that feeling of doubt. Because if you think, well, I don't have a certificate, or I don't have an MBA, or I don't have proof that I'm qualified in all of this, but actually your wisdom that you've learned out there on the streets...
You're actually qualified in life, right?
going through the actual experience is, you know, it's worth its weight in gold. But a lot of us are so busy, we haven't had a chance to sort of process that. So Wins, Walls and Wisdoms is a really handy tool, not only to restore that self-belief in yourself, but what a great way to start a team meeting. So if you've got a team meeting and you can see your team are feeling a bit deflated, or a bit kind of doubtful about whether they are able to achieve all these things that has been set at the vision, then restoring people's memory of actually what have we done, what have been our wins, our walls and our wisdoms can be quite confidence boosting for teams that are maybe feeling a bit doubtful.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. But again, I suppose carving out the time to do that as well. So taking that pause moment and, you know, taking a moment to just think about, yeah, I have done that. And the reason I've done that is because of these skills. So the acknowledgement of self. So, you know, we do an exercise sometimes with people, certainly in coaching, that says, let's take a moment and think about all of the things that you've acknowledged yourself for. So the things that you're super proud of, that you're chuffed that you've actually made happen, and then write them all down. And I know we've probably shared this before, but it is such a powerful tool to overcome self-doubt, because the evidence is there that says, you acknowledge yourself for achieving X, Y, Z, and the skills that you've used to get you there are these things. So you've suddenly got proof on a page that says, oh, okay, maybe I am all right at what I do, and maybe I am good at that. So therefore, your whole skills audit can then position you for any, I suppose, interaction that you may have, where you would then write at the top of your page or has a pop-up reminder on your phone, whatever it might be, that says, okay, I'm really good at whatever it might be. So today I'm going to be whatever your to be word is, so that you are focusing with intent rather than just running on autopilot and challenging yourself that goes, I'm rubbish, I can't do that. Or actually we flipped your thinking to go, no, I can. So that whole bit about, you know, practicing that self-care, practice the affirmations, I think is really good. But also setting yourself up with some realistic goals that enable you to achieve those mini things, those mini steps that get you to your end goal. Because we can't do it all in one go, right? So how do we do that and do that well?
Yeah. And you know, you've got me thinking actually about one of the exercises that we do on our session. So it involves blindfolds.
Yeah,
so
it does.
If anyone's looking for a little bit of a different approach to their leadership development, we've got plenty of blindfolds. But one of the leaders then said how they felt really gutted because they didn't win the time challenge.
Yeah.
And they were saying, because we went first, I'm really kicking myself that I didn't think about how I could do that compared to the other two leaders that were leading the blindfolded teams. And actually the other two then leaped in and said, yeah, but the way you did it, I wouldn't have thought about doing that. And I really liked how you gave encouragement, et cetera, et cetera. But I think whoever is going first, you've got to really work on how you get that glory moment, because you may just be the icebreaker. Mm-hmm. You don't then have the nice glossy kind of project, you know, you're going in there and breaking ground, you know, if there's a project or a change piece. So you've got to, I think, be really careful about not just looking at external examples of whether you're good or bad, because you might be doing a bit of a grotty job. And actually it might be tricky to look at, oh, it's all shiny and lovely, therefore I must be shiny and lovely. Because you might be doing a real bit of dirty lifting at the moment. So it's then thinking, actually, what if I wasn't doing this, what might have happened? And as you said, being able to kind of look for those examples of what you can do. And that flip then of, well, actually, you think you didn't do that, but what did you do? That's flipping your flaws. And do you remember
flaws.
That as our language about...
Actually, we did flip your flaws. Yeah, I forgot about that actually, Laura.
Because I remember you saying as a coach, people are so quick to talk about all the things they're not good at. And part of your role in that first session might be just asking people to say, okay, so what... Let's just flip that for a moment. And I remember there's lots of conversations that I've certainly had in passing where people are saying, oh God, I'm no good at strategic thinking. Well, you're probably fantastic at reactive operational decision making.
Absolutely.
Because one might be the flip of the other. And if you think, oh no, I'm rubbish at big public speaking, you're probably awesome at one-to-ones. So one-to-ones, you know, is a key aspect of a role. So I think we can be very quick to judge ourselves on all the things that we're not very good at. But actually, if you just flip that, the underside of that perceived weakness will be a lovely shiny skill.
Oh my God, completely.
Because there'll be an opposite that will be sort of driving that.
And it's recognizing what that opposite is. So surrounding yourself with people that, as we said earlier, may spot that rather than you spot it. Because we're in it, so we don't see it. And if we've dialed up our inner critic, then all we're listening to is that voice that's going, you're not very good at that. So sometimes we need to be shaken out of that a little bit and acknowledge the fact that that's appeared, and then go, well, actually, I'm not going to listen to you because I now have evidence that says otherwise. So how do we build on that and create the momentum behind that so that we are creating a positive influence around ourselves? We have people around us that also enable us to do that. And I think that's where the beauty of working in a good team, being together, you know, being trusting, having an opportunity to share what I really appreciate about you, what do you bring to the party, and hearing that feedback can be mind-blowing. And we don't always get to hear that. So how do we encourage those good feelings, those good vibes that go, I really appreciate you for doing X, Y, Z. And people go, oh, thank you. And then don't let them dismiss it or justify it. It's just say thank you. Just take it. Add it to your smile file. Add it to your list of good things so you can continue to focus on what you can do, not what you can't do.
Yeah. And I'm just reminded of, Debs, about where it's a really exciting project we're doing at the moment. We're doing podcasts with real life people in their real life organisations, because it's a brilliant way to just cascade news and culture and all that kind of stuff around an organisation. And what about that person we had who was saying, we were talking about the benefits of having a personal development plan can have.
Yeah.
So just to supercharge your development and just having some of that self-led learning. And he was absolutely right when he said how you can spot it when someone is feeling like they are actively working on what they're doing. So yeah. Could it be just rather than self-doubt of what you can't do, if you were to just relabel that mm-hmm. language of, I'm in learning mode.
Yes.
I'm putting my L plates on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to proudly drive around with my L plates on. That means people are less likely to judge me for not being able to reverse
very
park.
True. Yeah, very true.
They'll give me a little bit more kind of leeway and there'll be an understanding that I am in learning, mm-hmm. As we all are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the books haven't been written yet about how does a nation, a world clamber out of a post-pandemic environment and to be able to thrive when there's been, you know, lots and lots of sort of change, etc., and more to come, I'm sure. Mm. So that L plates.
Yes,
so it's like
a nice
reclaiming rather than self-doubt. Yeah. Oh, I don't think I can do that. It's okay. So if I'm not quite sure, let me get my L plates on and let me get into learner mode.
Yeah, that's really nice actually, because that feeds into practicing compassion for self. It also enables you to, you know, keep growing and developing, and it takes the pressure off as well. So, but then communicating that to people that says that, you know, I'm learning, you don't have to put an L plate on, obviously, but the fact that I'm just going through a period of exploration. I'm going to sort of navigate my way through the new way of being. I might need your support along the way or give me some feedback. So it's that opportunity for you to learn and grow and develop, because we're all work in progress, right? And therefore it takes some practice and recognition of when you do achieve something. And then that takes away that self-doubt that we may have that stops us sometimes, stops us from doing things because, and then we miss opportunities sometimes, which I think is so sad. Mm. So we just need to be kinder to ourselves, really. And I think that would be my call to action, actually, Law, is to just practice recognizing what you do rather than what you don't do. And make a list of all those things you do super well. And if you're not sure, get 5 other people to tell you what you do well. You may be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, love it. And my share the secret would be, if you're fortunate enough to work in an organisation or you are accessing learning and development opportunities, then actually what I'm increasingly saying to people is coming on a course or dialing in on a workshop is a really convenient starting point for trying out something that you've secretly wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're able to just frame of, I've been on this course, it's really got me thinking about how I do X, Y, Z. I'm going to give it a go. So I just thought I'd let you know, because I'm going to be trying out some new things. And it almost then protects you, and then it removes that self-doubt, because you don't have to be perfect because you've clearly signposted. Of course, if you are not in a role right now or you work in a place that isn't prioritizing learning and development, this is precisely why we run this weekly podcast, because, you know, we're all in it together and life is changing so quickly. Mm. Hopefully it's a way of just giving people an opportunity to have a half hour skills check-in and refresh, etc. So you never know, you could say to someone tomorrow, I listened to this podcast and it really got me thinking about how maybe I need to talk about myself or communicate with others. I'm going to try something new. Could I ask your support on that? And again, it just removes that self-doubt of having to be perfect. As we've got on our tea towel, Debs, better done than perfect.
Better done than perfect.
So I'll share the secret would be, if you've got a friend who you think they're so down on themselves at the moment, get them to listen to this. The fact it's even on our hot list of topics means that it's a thing. It's not just you. It's really common. Mm. And even the amazing senior leader we had starting off today, who is top of their game in terms of a professional point of view, when they were sharing their experiences around self-doubt and how they've worked to overcome it, you could just see everyone in the room going, wow, it's not just me.
Yeah.
So it certainly isn't. So get someone who you know is a bit down on themselves at the moment, a bit doubtful, get them to listen to this.
Yeah.
It's not just them. And we're all in work and progress, as
we
you
are.
Said.
Yeah. So that leads us on to our topic for next time, right, Law? So what are we going to talk about next time?
Oh, I can't wait. So next week's topic, Debs, is all about, drum roll, please, saying no in a positive way.
Oh, I love that. That would be a really good one.
Because I want to be seen as a really positive can-do person. And I've removed all this self-doubt, but now I've got no time to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm saying yes to everything. How do I get some boundaries back?
Yeah.
How do I say no in a positive way?
So we've got some
really practical tips to run by you next week.
Love it. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Law.
In the meantime, Yes. Have a glorious, wonderful, doubt-free week.
You will, and you too. All right, I mean, have a good evening.
Thank you. It's been wonderful sitting next to you.
It's so cool. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, lovely. I'll see you in a bit.
I'll see you in a bit.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at secretsfromacoach@aol.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating, as it makes it easier for us to share the secret with others.